49. At Abadal's End.
Such are the great ones, fit to be acknowledged among ancient guardians and keepers of truth.
From Kulvanar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, end note. Coming to a halt, Amundal peered over the edge of the ice shelf. The frigid water was maybe 3 or 4 stories below him. What fortuitous timing, he said, glancing to Finch. But what will they do when they see you? Though he hadn't interacted with Bayam since entering Tartalim, he supposed she knew about Finch and the necessary role he had played in their escape. But had she told the Council? Morgy claimed Bayam had detailed notes on the dreaded place. As possible scenarios played in Amundal's mind, the old codger appeared.
I suggest you hide Finch in the Vizierm Expanse. There are those within your order that you cannot trust.
He turned to Finch.
It's for your own good. Not to mention the Council will want your weapon. You don't want to lose it, do you, Finch?
The winged creature fluttered behind Amundal, his shaking trunk brushing against Amundal's shoulder. The old man turned back to Amundal.
And you should omit mention of your friend's predicament.
The codger looked to the nearby vessel, clasping his hands behind his back.
This is where we part, my friend. Farewell, until the Crimson Eye is unearthed and Kaldar's true god returns.
Confused, Amundal opened his mouth to speak, but the man vanished. Amundal turned to Finch, who was no longer shaking.
I'll fetch you once we return to my family's home.
Finch nodded and grasped Amundal's shoulder.
Be careful.
Once the portal to the Vizierm Expanse opened, Finch zipped into it. Thoughts of curiosity accompanied the winged creature, but it was soon drowned out by the pain of Amundal's friends.
I promise I will save you. All of you.
He closed the portal and pulled the conjuration anchor from his pocket.
Do I dare use you?
The Council would undoubtedly confiscate the anchor.
Best I keep this safe, too.
The ship sailed parallel to him now, moving toward what he assumed was Crisian Bay. If he didn't act quickly, the ship would sail past him.
I could always try shouting.
Cupping his hands to his mouth, Amundal yelled at the vessel, but his cries didn't seem to reach anyone on the ship.
Perhaps something more drastic, he thought,
uttering an incantation to conjure an Aldenal copy of his dark blue Noctilius. Golden light soon surged from his hands, coalescing half a grand finial ahead of the ship. A trail of magic connected him to the forming portal. Soon, that multi-limbed silhouette appeared in the light, and the vessel abruptly turned. He slowed his incantation to an exhale as the limbs slithered from the golden light, waving above the water.
See me.
His thought made the portal flicker, but he regained his focus, slowly exhaling the rest of the incantation. More tentacles reached from the portal as a bird flew from the ship. It was a gosset, not unlike the one he had used to traverse the wasteland. The bird landed on the ice shelf and held up its beak. In its mouth, the gosset held a small Rogolin crystal.
Is that you, father? He asked, and dismissed the portal.
The Noctilius's limbs rushed back into the golden light as the portal collapsed upon itself. The bird nodded, then spat the crystal onto the ice. It stamped in the frozen ground, then pointed with its beak back to the ship.
It'll teleport me there? He asked, picking up the crystal. I'll see you soon.
While watching the vessel turn westward, Amundal uttered the teleporting incantation. The crystal erupted with golden light, and then a hurried commotion whirled about him. The furling and flapping of canvas sails, the grunts of sailors, and water crashing against a hull. Before the teleporting magic faded, Amundal felt firm hands clasping his arms.
Oh, Amundal, you're alive!
Amundal turned to see his father beside him, dressed in his own Slogline coat.
Aranil's eyes brimmed with tears as he pulled Amandal close.
What happened? Where are the others?
Amandal sucked in his breath and looked about. Besides the sailors, no one else was on the ship's main deck. Unfortunately, I am the sole survivor of the third expedition to Tartalim. His father's face paled, and his lips quivered.
What do you mean, the third expedition?
That is a long story, Amandal sighed. Do you want me to tell it to you now, or before the council? Aranil's face continued contorting with uneasiness.
Just tell me the high points.
The rescuing vessel was still sailing toward Chrysian Bay when Amandal finished explaining the Mandalorian's deceit. Furious, Aranil stomped off toward the quarterdeck. A faint exchange with the captain carried on the wind, and then Amandal's father returned.
Best we teleport back to Soroth,
Aranil said, removing a green necklace from an inner coat pocket. Like the one Amandal had received from his father, this necklace also had a Rogalin crystal as its pendant.
Arintil should still be at the order, so we can relay this matter promptly.
Hopefully we won't land on one of his students. Aranil pursed his lips, not amused by the remark.
I'll gather the other council members. Once we return, go wait in our chambers.
Besides the sound of Amandal's steps, all was quiet in the Order's council chambers. None of the masters had arrived yet. Deciding not to sit, he paced around the large room, admiring the opulent decor themed to represent each channel of power. Though it was only one story, the room occupied nearly one quarter of the building's fourth floor. At the center of the room sat a large, ornate table. If it were meant for hosting meals, it could seat at least 14, but that was not its purpose. Seven grand chairs surrounded it, three on either side and one at its head. Each chair was unique, covered with a colored lacquer matching the discipline of the master who sat upon it. The chairs were also carved with the Order's symbols, symbols that were commonly understood throughout the world for the various channels of power. Six pillars held up the room, each equally spaced from the walls and one another. Upon each were floor-to-ceiling tapestries colored to match the chairs belonging to all but the Grand Master, with embroidered symbols of the corresponding disciplines woven throughout them. On the wall opposite the doors, the Grand Master's tapestries hung behind the head chair, along with long unfurled scrolls telling the origins of the Sarothian magical order. Amandal had heard that the council chambers of the mages of Alath had similar pillars, except their symbols were etched into the stone and glowed with hues unique to the magics of each discipline. The positions of the chairs and the tapestries changed as the council changed. Occasionally, a council mage would retire, but most stayed until death. When the old head illusionist, Amandal couldn't remember his name, had passed, those occupying the 7th through 4th seats moved up to the 6th through 3rd, leaving the 7th seat vacant for the new head illusionist. Hurried footsteps echoed into the council chamber and Amandal spun. He rounded the table and stood at the foot opposite the Grand Master's seat. Four pairs, he thought, parsing the footsteps. Their owners soon entered the council chambers. Amandal's father, Aranil Aramian, Grand Master Brantis Sekarin, Barjanist Master Emirna Trutim, one of three women on the council, and Ildan's father, Illusionist Master Ilyanin Seterin. Though Aranil, the Grand Master, and the Barjanist looked troubled, Ilyanin was distraught. His long face was stained with tears. The other three took their seats at the table, but Ilyanin stepped toward Amandal. His lips quivered as he grabbed Amandal's shoulder.
My boy.
Ilyanin's voice shook and more tears streamed down his face. Sympathetic tears brimmed in Amandal's own eyes. He'd opened his mouth to speak when more footsteps carried into the council room.
I
I'm sorry.
Ilyanin squeezed Amandal's shoulder, then took his seat at the table. Soon the other women on the council arrived. Transmuter Master Selassia Vorkus and Arpranist Master Korlaya Igasin. Each wore the robes matching the colors of their chairs and tapestries. They took their seats as a youthful scribe crossed to the far corner of the room and took her place at a table behind the pillar nearest Aranil. Each of the masters looked anxious except for Ilyanin, who seemed to be doing his best to hold back more tears. The last to enter was Master Cordis Rishan, the head of the necromancer discipline. Instead of a robe, he wore a regal-looking doublet of maroon and black with matching trousers. He took his seat on the Grand Master's left between the Arpranist and Ilden's father.
"My apologies," Cordis said with a slight whine to his words. "I had an important meeting with a fellow setting sail tomorrow."
The Grand Master nodded and cleared his throat, but that did nothing to help his dry and cracking voice.
"Seeing as this is an emergency meeting, we will not cover any prior business. You all know as much as I that young Amandal Aramian here was the only survivor of the expedition to Tardalim. If you would please relate what occurred, Amandal, and would you like a seat?"
Amandal declined, then began.
"Well, it all started when we were attacked by a pack of Noctili in Chrysian Bay."
His father did his best not to smile when Amandal spoke of capturing the Noctili, and then the Yeltis and the Cisterns. The other masters listened intently. Besides Amandal's voice, the racing quill of the scribe was the only noise in the room. When recounting their discovery of the Mandalorian corpses, all but Cordis were surprised. Cordis tried to act that way, but Amandal noted the distinct lack of muscles tightening around his eyes. Amandal had often paid attention to details, but never so strongly.
"Perhaps it is a boon," he thought. "Madness for mastery."
While continuing the tale, he kept an eye on Cordis. Was he one of those in the Order whom Amandal could not trust? Though he was speaking about Tardalim and its bizarre structure, Amandal couldn't help but wonder about Cordis and that fellow he had met with.
Perhaps a Mandalorian leading the fourth expedition?
Amandal omitted the discovery of the conjuration anchor.
"They'll try to take it," he thought.
After all, it was the only thing that had come from Tardalim. Several of the masters gave him skeptical looks when he related the first encounter with Orath Issian. Their doubt became even more apparent when he retold the battle in the Roost. The only masters who hadn't given way to cynicism were his father and Master Sitaran. He lied and said that old Kali had lost the Rogalin in the battle, and that was why they couldn't return home. Amandal set his jaw and then recited a variation of what occurred outside Tardalim. "We had all taken the cups when choking noises filled the camp. The monster attacked the others as I rounded the tents and found old Kali. I threw him and another into the Vizirm expanse until we were forced to flee through the tunnels." The Grand Master raised an eyebrow.
"So the commander is alive?"
"I wouldn't quite say that." Amandal stroked his chin. "I'd say he is as good as dead unless you know a way to stop the poison."
While reciting his and his friend's fictional flight from Tardalim, Amandal eyed Ilyanin.
"I should embellish Ilden's role."
"There I was," Amandal held his hands out as if to balance himself, "sliding down the icy slopes with Vench fluttering beside me. I looked back to see if we were being pursued when a flash of orange lightning zipped across the sky." He swept an open finger above his head. "And then the monster became a dragon." Master Trutim held back a snicker and Amandal cocked his head at her. "What? Don't you believe dragons are real?" He didn't wait for the answer and kept relating the tale of the battle. "I'd managed to unleash my first Gangolin when Orath Issian swooped across the mountainside." His rendition of the battle was glorious, painting his friends in a light that could be sung about in taverns or even written in tales. He almost believed it himself.
until he recalled their cries of pain echoing from the Vizirm expanse. I had ripped one of the dragon's wings when I saw a line of glistening metal beyond the horizon, shining as bright as the sun at high noon. And then they came. Hundreds of dragons, covered in glistening white scales. They descended like a storm of lightning, shaking the mountain and killing Oratissian. I knew I had to flee, so I took Fench and darted to a cave. They dismissed my conjurations, he snapped his fingers, in an instant. After hiding for a time, I emerged from my hiding spot, only to find nothing. No dragons, white or orange. They had vanished. Master Trutim burst with laughter.
Can't you all see he's mad?
Master Cordis nodded, but there was something in his eyes that said he believed Amandal's tale to be true. You know something, you sneaky bastard. Perhaps he had been in league with Vaim all along.
I'm sorry, Master Aramian, said the head Barjanist, but your son's imagination is a bit much.
Her lips twisted in a doubtful expression, seemingly on the edge of a chuckle. Aranel sat back and folded his arms.
I believe every word of it. My son is no liar, and he does indeed have control over 5 Gangolans.
The Grand Master held out his hands to quiet the others.
Is there more?
Amandal nodded and told a sad variation of his trek across the wasteland, how Fench left with an Isharian warder, and how Amandal had wandered for many days. Once he finished, the Grand Master spoke again.
I find your tale hard to believe, young Aramian, so I wish to request more witnesses.
He looked to Master Egasson.
Do you feel confident enough to mend the commander?
The Arpranist nodded.
Good. Then we shall take a vote. All in favor of releasing Commander Kalamir Sharn, please signify it.
All but Aranil and Ilyanin extended their right hands over the table. Amandal's father shook his head.
Didn't any of you pay attention to the aftermath in the caves? The Arpranists could not save those men.
They were not masters, said Master Egasson.
I will call together every Arpranist at my disposal. No poison nor venom will stop us from saving this man.
She studied Aranil before speaking again.
You, of all people, should be invested in his survival, especially if he can verify your son's tale.
Amandal snorted. I bet she wanted to say outlandish. He was annoyed at their reaction, but would he have acted any different if he had been in their seats? Yes. Soon after the meeting, the council moved to the rear courtyard near the fountain. The sun had set completely. Too late to take young Vargos to dinner? He glanced across the order's grounds. I'll have to leave him a note. Amid the thought, several Arpranists arrived.
You will give us the commander,
Master Egasson said to Amandal,
and once we heal him, then we will retrieve the other man you mentioned.
Amandal only gave a slight incline of his head and then uttered the incantation to open the portal to the Vizirm expanse. Gasps left the mouths of those around him. The masters were as shocked as his friends had been. His father was the only one not surprised. Old Kali soon fell from the portal, his entire body convulsing. The Arpranists hurried their incantations, and the courtyard became lit with a green hue. Amandal closed the portal and sauntered across the grounds. 2 pairs of footsteps followed after him, and then his father and Master Citerin arrived beside him.
That was remarkably fast, son. I take it that's the side effect you mentioned?
Yes, Amandal said, then smiled. Listen to this. Focused ahead, he opened a portal to summon a cistern. Aranil and Ilyanin marveled at the speed of his incantation and the swiftness of the portal's formation. The cistern leapt onto the grass, and Amandal willed the beast to howl. His father clasped his shoulder. Arnel's voice was full of paternal joy as he spoke.
How incredible! Now I have no doubt you are one of the greatest conjurers to walk the face of Kaldar.